Morning, church. I am not Stephen Lord. You probably noticed that, didn't you? I'm not near that tall. But I pray that Stephen and his family are doing well. And it's good to be with you. My name is Bill Stewart. I am kin to Murray Stewart. Of course, he's my son, and Kelly, and that whole side of the family. We had a great turkey time together, and glad to be here. sorry, Stephen is not, but hopefully I can fill in for him just a little. And I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Last time, a year ago, I guess, I don't know when it was, I spoke here. We talked about the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, oh, wonderful story of the church in the first century, written by the Holy Spirit. I'll leave it there because we don't know who penned it. But it was written by the Holy Spirit in order to encourage people not to fall away. Don't leave Christ. He's the only hope we have, not only in this life, but of course in the next one. So today I want to talk about the next one, the bodily resurrection. That's what Cooper just read to us a few moments ago on the death, the burial, and what was that third word, Cooper? Resurrection. The word is anastasis or anastasis in the original language. And any lexicon or Greek book that you pick up will say that it is to raise again. Always has the word again after it. So we are raised once now. If you've looked around, you see some people that are living. We were born. We were raised up. And now we are standing. But one of these days, sooner for some of us than others maybe, unless the Lord returns, what's going to happen to us? Life is going to leave this body, and kaploomp, we're going to be, as we call it, dead. We're not going to have life in us. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is, and we're going to discuss that in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, so please open your Bibles there. Put at the top of your note page, if you're going to be taking notes, the resurrection of the human body. In fact, several times throughout 1 Corinthians 15, we have the word thanatos. You say, okay, sure. Well, thanatos is a word for dead or death. And when I taught the resurrection and scheme of redemption at Bear Valley, one of the things I would have the students to do to emphasize what Paul, what the Holy Spirit was trying to get across to the people was dead. And I said, anytime I say the word or read the word dead in the scripture, I want the class to shout, body! Because that's the only thing that dies, right? Nothing else dies. Nothing else is separated, which Thanatos is talking about. We are separated from our body, from the flesh. Our spirit, Ecclesiastes 12, goes back to God who gave it. Our psuche, our personality, stays with the soul, is going to be in a different realm, going to be in a spiritual realm, but this body is going to be here. You've seen them, right? You've had deaths here in this congregation. I'm sure you've had funerals where maybe a casket is brought in or an urn or something, right? Hello? Okay. I wonder if you're still with me. Yes. We've seen that, and we've seen that physical body that is lifeless doesn't have any life in it. And so we have experienced that. I forget how many people in the world die every second. It's a big number. And how many are born? How many are raised that first time as a baby? And so in between that, here we are. But we're going to be talking about, okay, what happens then? What's it going to be like? Well, you remember 1 Corinthians, or in fact the entire book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to answer a sister's letter, Chloe. Chloe is writing Paul, obviously her and her family, members of the church there in this sinful city of Corinth, and they are having some major doctrinal questions. In fact, all the way through the book, 16 chapters in that book, and it's easily outlined because Paul will state a problem. Chapter 1, verse 10. I hear there's division exists among you, he says. And I believe it. That some of you are calling yourself after Peter, some after Apollos. Ooh! And God forbid, some of you call yourself after me. Oh, my. Why are you doing? Were you baptized into my possession? No! And so Paul starts out with that and is a misunderstanding of the gospel message. And he tells them. And so each point, he will state the problem and then he gives the solution to the problem. Period. States another problem, probably coming from Chloe's letter. And then he explains and corrects that problem. One problem after the other. So Corinthians is a beautiful book on truth. Here's what the Bible is actually talking about, Paul says. So he gets all the way to chapter 15. Is the gospel being misunderstood? What could we read? Now I make known unto you the gospel. That's the first phrase. Oh, okay. And so he's still reiterating the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And so for the first four verses, Paul tells us that the resurrection is part of the gospel. It's part of the saving message. You remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel, has the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, has the power to save. In fact, that is the only power God has to save mankind. There's no other. There's no plan B. There's not something, well, if he doesn't do this, he can, no. Paul says, this is it. Is the gospel. And he says, verses 5 through verse 11, that it's a certified message in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. The gospel is an apostolic message. Verses 5 through 11, he says, it has been certified. Now, you know, if you ever got a letter in the postal department that's certified, in other words, it came directly from that person to you. It's certified. And here is how the government certifies it. Well, Paul says, here is how God certifies it. He said, first of all, it came to Peter. Then it came to the 12 apostles. Then it came to about 500 people at once. Can you imagine how many people Jesus spoke to in 40 days after his resurrection? He was on earth for 40 days after his body was raised. How many people heard him? Oh my. 500? No. Thousands. Thousands came to him to hear him preach before his crucifixion. Now, after his crucifixion, how many? Well, if you heard that, you would travel miles and miles on foot to get to hear this dead man preach. Because that's what he had been. And now he's alive. He says that not only did he hear 500 heard him, but James, then the apostles, and me, Paul says, a child untimely born. I persecuted the church. I'm not really worthy to be an apostle, but because of the grace of God, I am what I am. We can all say that. Because of God's grace. That's the only reason we're here. Then, verse 12. If, or, that word can also be translated since. Since Christ has been raised from the dead. Hello, dead what? Thank you very much. Some people are listening. Since Christ has been raised from the dead bodily, how say, and highlight this word, underline it, something, some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead. Only some, not all, just some of them are denying the bodily resurrection. There's our problem. And you remember what we said earlier? When Paul states the problem, then he corrects it. The rest of the chapter through verse 58, Paul corrects their thinking. Because he says that beginning in verse 13 through 19, he gives them a syllogism. Yeah, you know what syllogisms are. Sounds like a syllogism, doesn't it? A syllogism Paul gives out, in fact, it's given several times in Scripture. This is not the only place where Paul states a major problem, or a major statement, rather, and then a minor statement. Both of these have to agree to have a correct conclusion. Paul says in this section, Jesus was raised from the dead. Major, right? Minor premise, Jesus is man. Therefore, conclusion, what? Man is raised from the dead. End of discussion, Paul would say. No, he goes on. He wants to give them more evidence. So Paul goes on from verses 20 through verse 28, and he tells them that Jesus is the first fruits. Okay, what does that mean? First fruits. And then he says, at his coming, at the end, we are going to be first fruits. But right now, he's first fruit. What does first fruits mean? The first one to be raised from the dead. We say, wait a minute. There are many others that have been raised from the dead. Let me finish. The first one to be raised from the dead, never to die again. Oh. You know what happened to Lazarus? Jesus raised him from the dead, didn't he? But that was only to do what? To die again. He had to go through death twice. And how many other? The widow Nain's son, and on and on and on, from the Old Testament through the New. There were people that were given life back again for a reason. But they later died. In fact, even the Jews wanted to kill Lazarus, because every time they saw him, it was a statement that Jesus was God. And so Jesus is first fruit, never to die again. And at the end of time, he says, he's going to deliver the kingdom up to the Father. In verse 28 is one of the most powerful, humbling verses in the entire Bible, I think. Because Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, remember, that after he has delivered up the kingdom to the Father, Jesus himself, the man, Jesus, because he's a man in heaven right now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we have one God, one mediator between God and man, himself, man. Jesus is a man in heaven right now. He loved us so much. The only way to redeem us was for him to become a human, which he did, we know that, for him to die on a cruel cross, to shed his blood, to pay our sin problem. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, what happens? His apostles are standing here watching. And the angel said, what? What are you standing here gawking for? He's going to come back the same way he went. Oh, my. And when he comes back, he is going to submit himself to the Father for eternity, just like us as human beings. Oh. To lower himself, Jesus, from being eternally God, which he is and always will be, to being also a human like us, I can hardly wrap my little old mind around that. Jesus, you're willing to do that for me? Oh, he already has. And then verse 29. Everyone understands verse 29, right? Go like this. Yeah. Else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised, why were you baptized for in the first place? What's Paul's context from verses 1 through verse 58? Resurrection. So the whole context of this chapter, we have to interpret it correctly. And I know we get false doctrines from that verse. We get people that observe, I always call it, they observe the Passover. They get to verse 29 and they jump over to verse 30 because it's not translated correctly. If it was translated correctly out of the text, it would say, you people obeyed the gospel, you some. Death, burial, what? Resurrection. You people obeyed that. And now you're saying there is no resurrection. Why were you baptized? Unanswerable. Notice there's a question mark after it. It's an unanswerable question if you deny the bodily resurrection. And Paul says, verse 30 and following, I die daily. I go through that daily. And if I fought in Ephesus against beast, what did it profit me? If there is no resurrection, let's what? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we're dead. He says, what I want you to do is stay away, verse 33, evil companionships corrupts good morals. Your folks taught you that growing up, didn't they? You stay away from those kids now that have bad language and that use drugs. You stay away from it because the Bible says, yeah, the Bible does say that phrase. But what's he talking about in that phrase? Denying the bodily resurrection. That's evil. That's evil communication, is denying the bodily resurrection. That's our context. That's what we're talking about. In fact, he said, goes on to say, verse 34, awake soberly, righteously in what? Sin not. Sin not how? Well, we shouldn't use bad language. That's not what he's talking about. What he's discussing is sin. Denying the resurrection of the body. In John chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, Jesus has just healed a man. And they're just eyes wide open, mouth wide open. What? And he says, you're surprised at this? You marvel that this man was healed? Now, I'll tell you one thing, he says, and I believe he said it with a smile on his face, there's going to be a day when all that are in the tomb, what's in the tomb? Dead body. When all that's in the tomb shall hear my voice and come forth. Those that have done good, resurrection of life. Those that have done evil, Every person that's ever lived, Jesus says, will experience the resurrection. Their body will be changed, not exchanged. He's not going to give us something new. No, he's going to change what sin took its account of. Why are we dying? Because sin's in the world. That's why we're dying. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. That's why we're dying. Adam brought it in. Christ took it out. And so we're going to be raised bodily and changed. And Paul said, well, let me explain that to you. Verse 35. That's where we got to, isn't it? Verse 35, let me tell you what that body's going to be like. How many of you have ever planted a seed in the ground? Well, all of us have. You know, some kind. Our parents did, raised gardens, right? You put a corn seed in the ground. It comes up a corn seed, right? No. It comes up a corn plant. And what must happen before that plant comes out of the ground, Paul says? It's got to die. That corn seed swells, and we call it germinates. It dies and takes on an entirely different life. And up through the soil it comes. You planted a yellow corn seed. A yellow plant comes up then, huh? No. A green plant comes up. Doesn't look like the corn seed at all. That's Paul's point. He says when we die, we're put in the ground. And when the Lord shouts and when he returns and when the archangel blows his trumpet, we're all going to come up changed into a different body. He gives another one of flesh. He says all kind of flesh is different. We know that. Someone blindfolded you yesterday, or day before yesterday, Turkey Day. Put a piece of turkey in your mouth. Said, what is that? I don't know. Well, of course you do. It's turkey. What if they had fooled you and put some steak in your mouth? You wouldn't have known the difference, would you? Well, of course you would. The taste is different. The fiber, a piece of fish. Paul uses all of those different kinds. In fact, he uses four different kinds of flesh. God has already created four different kinds of flesh. Can he create one more? Oh, I don't know. God's kind of limited. God couldn't create thousands of kinds of flesh if he wants to. And he's going to create another one. Different kind of bodies, celestial, terrestrial. Sun's one, moon's one, stars are one. Are they all the same? No, they're all different. Verse 44, I love verse 44. If, never will forget, we were studying this one time. We had a television program out of Council Bluffs, or out of Omaha, actually, when I preached in Council Bluffs. And after we would film the program that would show on Saturday, we had thousands upon thousands of contacts for several years. We would go down to the restaurant, drink a cup of coffee, eat a piece of pie or something, and discuss a lot of times the questions that we had answered on the program. And the subject came up of the resurrection. And a friend of mine was talking to another preacher. And he was talking about this body's going to be changed. It's going to come up a different kind of flesh. And he said, oh, no, no. He said, no, it's not going to be this body. And Mark said, what? let me read to you a text. And he started reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in honor. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And the preacher says, well, it doesn't say it's this body. A preacher sitting right beside me looked at me and said, he missed the it, didn't he? I got in the floor. I couldn't get my breath. That was the funniest thing anyone ever said. Yeah, he missed the it, missed the pronoun, didn't he? If it is sown in dishonor, it, what, the body, that's what he's talking about, is raised in glory. And so he says in verse 44, if it is sown a natural body, I got one, so do you. That's natural. It's governed by natural law. It's governed by gravity. You ever notice if you stumble, you're going to fall, you're not going to go up. All these natural laws, I've got to have food, I've got to have water, I've got to have rest. That's natural in this natural realm. If there is a natural body, the word there, again, soma, S-O-M-O, soma, which is translated body in the Greek language. If there is a natural soma, rest of the verse says there is also a spiritual soma. Huh. What's it going to be like? It's going to be different. It's going to be different than this one. But Paul, the Holy Spirit, tells us it's going to be a fleshly body, a spiritual fleshly body. Verse 50. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, I've been speaking here for 15, 20 minutes, and you might say, no, hour and a half, Bill. I've been speaking this whole time on, yeah, this body's going to raise. The word there is different. Isn't it amazing how handicapped we are in English when it comes to the Bible? Flesh and blood, the word flesh there is the word sark, not soma. S-A-R-X, sark, which means the human body. This natural body will not inherit the spiritual realm. Well, duh, that's what we've been talking about. It has to be changed into a spiritual body. And if we understand and accept what God is going to do with our body, oh my. He can do what he wants to with it. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is explaining it to us. And he closes with verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable. In what? What have we been talking about for 57 verses? Believing the resurrection of the human body. That body is going to come out of the ground, changed. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I look forward to that day. I'm not going to rush it. You know, step out in front of a truck or something. No, and the Lord's going to take His course. But one of these days. And I think, personally, you don't have to believe this, I think, Valerie, I want to recognize you, you pretty thing. You're going to have a pretty body up there, I bet you. Take after your mama. Yeah. And I can look around at some of you guys and think, oh, man. Got to be an improvement there, hasn't it, Roger? Just kidding, brother. Just kidding. I don't know what that body's going to be like, but it's going to be out of this world. Yeah. That is our promise. However, if you're not in Christ, you will be raised. But John chapter 7 says, your body will be raised and changed into that spiritual flesh to burn in hell for eternity. Which promise do we want? I know the one I want. And I do believe that I know the one that you want. To be raised incorruptible. To be raised in power. To be raised to be with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit for eternity. That I can only imagine how wonderful that will be. If you're not a member of the Lord's body this morning, you can be before the storm sets in. You can be this morning. There's water back here, right? There's a baptistry back here. There's clothing back there. We can take care of that before you get on these slick roads. And we can be brethren together in eternity with those new bodies. If you have a problem or thanksgiving you would like to give this morning to the congregation that we can pray for, please do that as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.